If you have your Bibles open to Genesis chapter 2, we're going to get there in just a few minutes. But there, we're starting a series of messages, and they kind of tie in with what I was talking about before with the photos. You know, one, it helps me to get to know everybody, get their faces and names put together in the right place. But it says, the backdrop says, I am, or we are, and it talks about, you know, just a little bit who you are. And I want us to talk about some of the things that we are as body of believers in Christ over these next few weeks, okay? So there is a little bit of a connection, and I'm not going to preach. Like, if you take, I get your picture, I'm not going to single you out and preach about you or anything like that. That's not going to happen. But it's all about who we are in Christ. And there was a ancient Greek maxim inscribed at the temple of Apollo at Delphi, which simply said, know thyself. Maybe you've heard that one, that phrase. You see it floating around. Many philosophers and writers and poets like Plato and Socrates and Emerson have referenced that phrase and written about its values over the years, that we are to know ourselves. Know yourself. Benjamin Franklin in Poor Richard's Almanac observed, there are three things that are extremely hard. Steel, a diamond, and to know oneself. Which I thought, yeah, that's pretty accurate, I think. For geeks like me, if you're here and you recognize this, some of you won't, and that's okay too. The phrase also showed up in the Matrix movies. Do you remember where? Above the Oracle's door. It was in Latin, actually, and it was, I gotta say it right, temet nosce, you know, which means know thyself. That's what it translates as. So that's a little geeky thing. Never mind. But I think that knowing yourself, knowing ourselves specifically, the truth about ourselves is valuable to us. It makes a difference. It's not just, you know, this, you know, I'm just kind of pulling into myself and all that. And no, that's not what it's about. It's valuable because it gives us a good starting point to make decisions. When we know who we are, especially when we know who we are in Christ, it makes it easier to make decisions, to take actions, to basically live our lives in the best possible way because we know ourselves and we know who we are in Christ. Think about it this way. How does knowing that your truck has four-wheel drive affect the way you drive? Come winter especially, right? Or you go off-road, are you a little bit more likely to get off-road in the two tracks and, you know, woohoo, here we go, and start slinging some mud? Or, you know, does it give you peace as you drive around in the snow in the wintertime? Just, you know, oh, I have four-wheel drive, you know. What if you were driving a four-wheel drive vehicle and didn't know it? What if you didn't know it? You'd be like, well, I'm not going to take that road. Or I'm not going to go there, it limits us. It holds us back. Does it change the capabilities of the vehicle because you don't know about it? No, still capable. You could still go out and tackle that road. And by the way, that's like driving in Wyoming. I just want you to know that. That's like main road. Not quite. Not quite. But you know, you get on there, but not knowing that your vehicle's four-wheel drive doesn't change the capabilities of the vehicle at all. But if you didn't know, man, you might not even attempt to go up that hill. Does that make sense? So do you see how knowing the truth about yourself can be very valuable? Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at scriptures to see what God says about us. The things that we'll explore aren't an exhaustive list. There's a great big old long list, and I should print that out for you sometimes. The Alliance did this list of who we are in Christ. It's great with scripture references. Remind me to print that out later. Oh, Brenda's not there to remind me. Stacy will remind me this afternoon. Anyway, because this is not an exhaustive list over these next few weeks, but it gives us a good idea of how God made us and sees us as His creation. I mean, He made us. He knows who you are. He knows your capabilities. So I pray that knowing the truth about who you are, and who and what you are, will help you live your life to the fullest. Which, as you remember, is one of the reasons that Jesus Christ came to the world. In John 10:10, it says, Is John 10:10 there? There it is. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that, what? That you might have life and have it to the full. Have it abundantly. That's what he intends for us. So knowing ourselves helps us get there. With that in mind today, we're going to consider the truth that you are free. And that's where we begin at the beginning in Genesis chapter 2. Right from the start, God made this statement about Adam in the Garden of Eden. But it refers to more than just him, because it's how God created all of us. You are free. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, the Lord commanded the man, Adam, "You are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for on the day you eat from it, you will certainly die." But did you see how God began that warning? He said, you're free. You're free to eat of any tree of the garden. Adam was created in the image of God, we're told in Genesis 1:26, and that means, among other things, that like God, you and I, all of us, have a free will, right? We're free. We have a free will just like God. Now, to make that even clearer, when I talk about free will, I'm talking about the ability that you and I have to make choices. I mean, you boil it all down, that's what it comes to. You and I are free to make choices. You have the ability to choose. I like to think of it as a superpower. You know, like, what's your superpower? I can fly, or I can, you know, lasers out my eyes. No, my superpower is I am free to choose. I get to make choices. Every choice I make. Isn't that amazing? That God has given us that power, that ability. We're free to choose. Early in my life, I observed that no one can make you do anything. And think about it, it's really very true. Especially if you think about it, and perhaps this is where it came from, as you raise your children, no one can make you do anything. Is that right? I mean, short of when they're really little, you can pick them up and physically move them. Other than that, you know, have you ever have a child who said, you know, don't do that, and they look at you and they, whoop, do it. Yeah. No one can make you do anything. To be sure, people try all the time. That's the basis of the entire advertising industry, to make you make a choice that maybe you wouldn't have made otherwise. They try to encourage you and to bend you a certain way. It's central to anyone who's in a position of authority, who wants you to do what they want you to do. They're going to work hard at it. We cajole, we threaten, we bribe, we try to guilt people into doing anything. My mother was an expert at that. Guilt, yes, you see, any of my family will nod their head at that. She was wonderful at that, guilting people into doing things. Everybody tries, but the reality is that no one can make you do anything. Even when you bend your will to theirs, guess what? You chose to do that. You chose to do that. Maybe it was just so they would stop guilting you. You know, but whatever it was, you make the choice. No one can make you do anything. And it's because of the free will that all of us were created with. It's built in. It's not an optional extra that gets added on to some and not to others. It is standard equipment, every human being. The ability to choose. God said it right from the start here to Adam. You are free. Now, he was talking specifically about eating fruit in the Garden of Eden, that he could eat from any tree, but it was also about all of our abilities to choose. God told Adam that even though he was free to eat from any tree, it would be best if he didn't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So don't eat from that, because what happens when you eat from that, you will die. That's what he was telling him. But he recognized, Adam, you are still free to choose. It's early evidence for us that it's not so much that God wants good things from us as he wants good things for us. Could he have made Adam to just, you know, I mean, God can make, if I said no one can make you do anything, God can make you do things, I guess, because God can do anything. Could he have made Adam not do that? Yes, but he would have ruined his free will if he did that. And he made us with a free will that was God's choice, because he wants good things for us more than he wants good things from us. Perfect example. God knew that Adam had a free will to choose, but he also knew the negative impact of that freedom. Because if you're free to choose, you are free to make bad choices too. That's the downside of this. As it turned out, and you know the story, Adam exercised his freedom to choose, and he chose to ignore God's warning. And by Genesis 3, we're reading about the consequences, where we're told it, Genesis 3. There we go. Adam said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you'll eat food from it all day, all the days of your life. And that was just some of the consequences. But we read in Genesis 3, man, you made the choice, okay, here's what happened. But still, Adam was free to choose. God gave all of us the ability to choose, either to listen to him and follow his way, or to follow our own way, strike out on our own. And we make those choices all the time, don't we? When you choose God's way, you choose what is best, because God always has your best interests at heart. This is something we're talking about knowing ourselves. We also need to know a little bit about God. God wants nothing but the very best for you. Always. Always. Even when hard things come your way, it's because he wants to develop some quality in you that is best in your life. His way may be difficult. As a matter of fact, it usually is. It may hurt. It may be costly in many different ways, because it's all counter to what the way of the world. But you need to understand this. When we follow God's way, it will always lead us closer to him. Always. It'll always lead us closer to him. It'll lead us deeper into a relationship with him. It will lead us to the perfect plan that he has for your life. Because God does indeed love you. And he has a plan for you, and it's a good one. That's, remember what God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. He knows the plan he has for you. He's not making it up as he goes. There's a plan. And it's a plan to prosper you, not to harm you. A plan to give you hope and a future. That's God's plan. Paul also described God's plan as good and pleasing and perfect in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And he added, don't be conformed to this, the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to test and approve what God's will is. God's plan for you, his good and pleasing and perfect will. That's what God wants for you. He's not talking about easy or popular or what everyone else is doing. God's plan is good for you. Good for you. Pleasing to God. It's his perfect way to get you where he wants you to be, both in this life and in eternity. So know this about yourself. You are free. Free to choose. So how does knowing that I'm free to choose make a difference in how I live my life Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Thursday, you know, all through the week? Day to day. How does it make a difference? Well, maybe like me, you've been in a situation that seemed to force your hand, where you found yourself in a place and you felt like, oh, I have no options here. like you have no control over your destiny. Things are happening to you. Have you ever been in a situation like that? We get there sometimes. But the truth is that you and I always have a choice because God made us free. That's how He made us. See where we're going with this? Of course, some choices are more difficult and more costly than others. Or it may be that I fear that I can't actually pull it off if I choose to go down that path. And so I won't go there. Steve kind of mentioned it in some of our spiritual life as well that way. We know God's promise that if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But boy, it's uncomfortable confessing my sins, isn't it? Admitting I was wrong. Owning up to the fact I did that. That's my mess. That's hard. And many times we just do this and we say, what mess? What mess? I don't see any mess. Do you see mess? It's not easy. But it's something that will lead us to what God's plan is for us. Yes, the choices are difficult and costly. Well, maybe I'm not able to do it. Here's another example. When my car stops running, or in this case, Alex's car stops running. Yeah, just, I'm sorry about that. I know. That was the wipers. That wasn't the engine blowing up. But just in general, when my car stops running, I'm most likely to say, I have no choice. I'll tell Brenda this. I have no choice. I have to take it to the garage. That's just what I do. But it's not really true, is it? The mechanics in the room are saying, that's not true. But I choose to take the car to the garage because I fear that I'm unable to diagnose the problem properly or to make the appropriate repairs. You know why? Because I've done that before. Lots. You know, I don't have the tools to do it right, and I end up doing it wrong, and then I've got to tow it to the garage. And that's not good. So I go to the garage. I make the choice to do that because the alternative is just too hard, too scary, too risky. And it's one thing to do that with your car, it's another thing to do that with your soul. You see, it's not uncommon in lots of different choices that we make. What I want us to see this morning is that we should know this about ourselves. It's never, I have to do this. It's, I choose to do this. Just own it. We are free to choose. Don't accept the fatalistic excuse, I had to do that. Because you know where that always leads? So it's not my fault. It's not my fault. I had to do that. And it's just not how it works. The truth is that you are free to choose. And with your choice comes responsibility. Again, geeky people, that's a Spider-Man thing, you know that. This isn't pleasant to hear. It's not pleasant for me to say because you know what? It comes right back and hits me hard. Just like you. But we need to know that we are free to choose. So that, here's the reason, this is what makes the difference. We need to know that, not so that we'll feel bad about making bad choices. That's not what I'm going for. We need to know that so that we can be intentional about the choices that we make. So that we can say, oh, I'm going to make this choice, but I'm going to do it on purpose. I recognize what it is and what it's going to do, and that's where I'm going. And you know what else it does? It causes me to go to God and say, oh, Lord, I need you. Boy, do I need you. Because I'm about to make a choice, and I don't know if I'm able to do this. I need you. And what's his promise to us? Those who call out to me, I'll never turn any of them away. Never. You're always able to choose God's way. One more thing. What about the time, maybe you're thinking this, what about the times when I really don't know what is the right way? It happens, right? We're faced with a situation and saying, oh, I could do this, or I could do this, or I could what? And I don't know which is the right way. Last week we met our other daughter, not Stacy, with her grandchildren, not Caleb and Levi, and we walked through a corn maze. And you get out in the corn and the path goes this way and this way and this way and, you know, it's like, which way do I go? And I don't know which way to choose. And so we wandered around aimlessly in a cornfield for, what, half an hour or so? Yeah. You know, till we found the way back out, the way in and the way back out. But anyway, we get that sometimes. I don't know what to do. And I just want you to know in James, it says this, how we can know God's way. And this is from the Voice translation, so it'll sound a little different from what you're holding in front of you, maybe. We face these complicated decisions. How can I know what God's way is? If you don't have all the wisdom needed for this journey, then all you have to do is ask God for it. And God will grant all that you need. He gives lavishly and never scolds you for asking. Like I said before, not only is it good for us to know about ourselves, but it's good to know about God here. Okay, this is who he is. We don't have the wisdom. It's okay to say, I don't know. I don't know what to do. It is not okay to leave it there. Okay, because you have a choice here. When you don't know what to do, ask God. Ask him. Just ask. Isn't that what he says? You don't have the wisdom for the journey here. All you have to do is ask God for it. God will not scold you for asking him. He will not say, how many times have I told you this? That's a parent thing, right? But not God our Father. He doesn't scold us for it, for asking. He will just point the way. And you know how he points the way? He says, follow me. Follow me. Isn't that what Jesus called all of his disciples to do? Come on, follow me. How do we know the way that Jesus is going? Get to know the book. All right? He gives us a lot of instruction. But in addition to that, he gives to us his Holy Spirit to dwell in us. Oh. And he is that voice that says, this is the way, walk in it. So ask, pray. And then listen. Like I said last week, the Holy Spirit is here in you to both guide and provide in every situation. So ask and listen and then obey. Okay? It's one thing to know the way. It's another thing to put one foot in front of the other and go that way. I do that with my GPS all the time where it says, this is the way. And I say, well, but I want to go this way. And what's it say? Recalculating. God always wants to bring you to his way. Because it's the best way. Ask him to show you the way. Listen to what his Spirit is leading you to do. Listen to what his Word is telling you to do. And then do it. Obey. Each of us is free to choose because God made us that way. You are free to choose. I want you to say that with me right now. I am free to choose. Ready? I am free to choose. You need to know that. Use that truth as you make decisions. And in those times when you simply don't know what to choose, don't be afraid to go to God and ask and listen and obey. Because he knows the way, and he wants so badly to lead you into what is the very best for your life. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for this truth from your word. It tells us a little bit about ourselves and tells us a whole lot about you, God. Just how amazingly good you are. Forgive us, Lord, for the times whenever we choose poorly. And we choose to follow our own way instead of your way. Your way that you have shown us in your word and by your spirit. Your way that you made clear through your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, lead us there. Enable us to follow. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for it always, Lord. So we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.